Well, this is your hour. We'll take your phone calls with Mark Pitstek as we talk about his work, Soul Proof, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Mark Pitstek with us. Mark, where do people get your book, Soul Proof?
The best way is off the website, George, soulproof.com. Not only the book, Soul Proof, but also it's been turned into a documentary film where we interviewed lots of people. And by the way, when they visit soulproof.com, there's tons of free articles, radio shows, that list of experts I mentioned earlier, free radio shows you can download, free newsletters, and also a lot of very reasonably priced CDs, $10 each if you download. For many of these things we've mentioned, you can experience under hypnosis a past life regression, a life review, a way to communicate with your departed loved ones, a facilitated after-death contact, transformational breath work. So I've created tools for people in all stages of life with questions, challenges, to help them burn through it and experience life the way it can be.
Excellent. You know, we're human beings, Mark. We have life's ups and downs. You have some examples of people who have been in really tough situations, and this has helped them. Can you give us one example?
Sure. And these are the people who inspire me, by the way. I got an email a couple months ago from a woman named Marla in Florida, and she started off, she said, I've had three children die.
And
yeah, it takes your breath away. One died at birth, and a daughter who died of leukemia. And by the way, what in the hell are we doing to our planet with the food and the drugs and so on that so many children are dying of leukemia?
Yeah.
And then a son who ended his own life, which, again, these suicide rates are off of the charts.
Nice.
These kids are showing us what we're doing to the planet. But anyway, she said, I spent 2 years, I read your book, I went to counseling, I went to mediums, I did everything I could, and now I have one question, and I'm thinking, okay, here it comes, you know, like, how could God allow this, or what kind of God? And she said, how can I help others? And so I met with her, and she's starting now a Helping Parents Heal group, which is an enlightened, bereaved parents group, helpingparentsheal.info. And she's going to be helping other parents whose children have died. So there's an example of somebody who went through the worst of the worst. I mean, we can't imagine it would destroy most people, yet it made her stronger. And so that's why there are sayings like the Buddhist saying, you can't stop the birds of sorrow from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. So, you know, suffering is part of life, adversity, disappointments, and so on. But when we're enlightened, when we're balanced, then we have that house on a granite foundation, not shifting sand, that allows us to deal with it and even look for the blessings therein.
That's a remarkable story how someone has been able to overcome a really tough situation. My God.
Oh, yeah, the founder of Helping Parents Heal, her name is Elizabeth. And 3 days after her son died, Morgan, he was 25, 3 days later, she was looking to how she could help other parents, started this group, Helping Parents Heal, and now I think we have 35 chapters across the world now, just growing really rapidly. So those are my heroes, and those are examples how the rest of us can deal with our relatively minor adversity in comparison.
What's the one major issue that you would like people to take away from this interview tonight, Mark?
That is that they can relax and enjoy the ride. You know, like the old James Taylor song, we might as well enjoy the ride. Isn't it a lovely ride? And it really is. It's kind of ironic, really. Voltaire said that God is like a comedian playing to an audience that's forgotten to laugh. And so we as souls are excited about coming to Earth. We design everything, and we're ready to come down. But then we come down here, and we have this spiritual amnesia, because if we could remember the whole picture, it would negate our lessons. It would be too easy. So people get here, and then they're like, how did I get here? It's some mistake. I can't wait to leave this crazy planet. When, in fact, when we get bigger eyes, see more of the big picture, then we can relax and enjoy life in all its fullness, all its richness, and let our light shine, fulfill the reasons why we came here. It's a beautiful part of forever, and we are forever beings, each one of us.
When we hear that little voice in our heads, some people don't react to it, other people do. What do we do? What do we have to do in order to react a little bit more with that? Because it's probably pretty accurate and good advice.
Yeah. Well, if that probably is one of the major reasons I came to Earth this time around. I have experienced time and time again that I'm much better off when I listen to that still small voice.
Yeah.
When I don't, I get the 2x4 upside down.
You get burned all the time, don't you?
Yeah, so, you know, that's the law of karma, and those are the kind of lessons that stick with you. So I think eventually we wake up and listen to that. And then the other big thing is meditation. I've been a meditator since 1974, and it really helps if we check just 12 minutes. We just take a little time to be quiet, and then we remember who we are, why we're here, and then we catch those little messages, those little whispers, so we don't have to get the 2x4.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Edward now in Wyckoff, New Jersey. Edward, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Edward.
Thank you for the opportunity.
There you.
I wonder continually about life in the higher dimensions. For a documentation on hell, I suggest you have a look at Emanuel Swedenborg.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Who was the most profound psychic clairvoyant who ever lived.
Predicted a third world war.
I don't believe Swedenborg knew anything about that. I don't know who did, but that was not Swedenborg's idea. He saw heaven as three stages of the natural, spiritual, and celestial heaven. It was the world of spirits, life on earth, and hell beneath it. Swedenborg explained how he had been in all of those and had been traveled to other planets as well and described what happened there. But I witness every day a civilization that is disintegrating from abuse and corruption. Plato had it right. He said, when they who are wise do not enter politics, inferiors rule over them. In an age of a time of...
How about a question?
Yes, well, my original question. What can we know about life in the higher dimensions? This is the nut house of the universe, and nobody in rational being would want to come back to this. The only way is up and out. And all of our questions should be, what is that?
Well, good question, and thank you for your call, Edward. And from my viewpoint, I think we can access those higher dimensions right here and now. In other words, we can be high beings, we can be awake, and you know, people talk about the fifth dimension and so on. So I know lots of people who are living in the midst of difficulty, but also remember their true nature, remember they were one with God. So I don't think we have to wait until we die. I don't think we have to leave this planet. In fact, this earthly classroom can be a wonderful way for us to remember. By the way, you're right. Swedenborg is amazing, and his writings are very instructive.
And he did talk about Third World Wars, and he talked about trains, and this is, you know, he was back in the 1700s, for crying out loud. He was born in 1688. So he did have this, you know, prolific look at the future. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, one more comment. You hear the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. So we always seem to think that, you know, there is better than here, and later is better than now. But really, I say, we have everything we need in the here and now to awaken and let our light shine brightly, no matter what's going on around us.
To San Francisco we go. Renee is with us on the Wild Card line. Renee, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to have you.
Thank you. Mark, I've always had this problem with people who die in severe agony and pain. You know, we've seen movies, I've read books about how people were impaled, burned alive at the stake. I mean, what do these souls say when they go to the other side? I mean, did they really suffer such indescribable agony before they, before their souls left their bodies? That's basically really my question. I want to know what happened to all these poor souls, that, like Joan of Arc, for example.
Sure. Yeah, great question, and what caring person doesn't think about that. As George mentioned in the introduction, I've been with hundreds and hundreds of people as they died, and all of them had a peace right after they died. So pain is an earthly experience, so as soon as they do die, they don't have to take that with them, although they can. The other thing is, from a physiological or medical standpoint, we see this as shock. In other words, I've interviewed a lot of people who didn't die but should have, fell off high-story buildings, were stabbed, were shot, had their knives slit, and so on. And I said, what did it feel like? And they said, you know, it was just like being punched, and then I didn't feel anything. So they go into shock. From a spiritual viewpoint, there are multiple reports that the soul in its wisdom knows what's coming, whether it's a tragic car wreck or being impaled or whatever. And so the soul then disengages. There's no good reason for the soul to experience all that trauma and so on. So it'll already start disengaging before the fatal injury occurs. So even when, and then you have the angelic help guides and so on there for the people. So there's a beautiful safety net built in. And then sometimes being in some pain can really be a wake-up. Maybe the person in pain created pain for others and needed to experience firsthand. And so I really am a trusting place, and all the evidence encourages that, to not worry, to trust, but yeah, keep looking for good answers to tough questions.
Did you ever get your question answered, who am I? Have you been able to get that figured out, Mark?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I mean, we are beings of energy, consciousness, spirit, light. That's who we are, and that's 99.999% of who we are. And when we realize that, instead of identifying with the physical body, then this time on Earth makes a lot more sense.
Sure does. Back to more calls. Steve in South Dakota. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the program.
George, thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you.
I'm 39 years clean and sober, thanks to my higher power, who I choose to call God. The thing that kept me from getting sober was thinking that I was unique, that my story was unique. And I just learned that I was the same old, tired alcoholic with the same problems of as the people in the group that I used to go to, and I still do. I thought it was me at first, then it was me and God, then it was God and me, then it was God. Tonight I had an experience. My girlfriend has been going downhill. She's been drinking a lot. She was bound and determined to go up to the convenience store on her scooter to get a Coke.
Oh, no.
And I told her, no. I said, she was five times the legal limits.
Oh, geez.
She'd been drinking tequila. And so I called the police. And I didn't have to call them because she fell off her bike twice in the parking lot.
Ugh.
I found out.
She get hurt?
No. She's kind of late, but she got caught. And she doesn't know that I called. But sometimes the lessons that we learn from are through the hard times. And I love her. And I've been with her for 23 years. And I think I did the right thing, because she could have very well gotten.
Yeah, you did. You did the right thing.
And so I'm thankful. And I told, last thing I told her before I said goodnight to her was, thank God it was you and not me.
I hope this was a wake-up call for her.
Yes, and so I'm going to work with her. And I appreciate your guest. He's wonderful. And what he said about pain is so true. And with that, I will leave you, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure thing. Mark, do you want to react to that?
Yeah, thanks for the question and the example. It's important to know that as humans, we want life to be safe, comfortable, easy, but our essence, our soul, doesn't care about any of that. It wants growth. It wants to serve. It wants to love. And so souls will choose, and perhaps your soul did, to be in this scenario, difficult it is for you, you know, do you call the police or not? But souls will choose to be in difficult scenarios because they know that's how we grow, that's how we can help and serve. And they're willing to do it because they know that they're forever beings, they're already part of God, this time on earth is a blink of an eye, our real selves can't be destroyed, so it's an easy choice to go through some adversity for all the benefits.
Okay, next up, we go to Gary in Canada. Thank you for calling, Gary. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, I appreciate the producer taking my call.
Great.
First of all, I am not I don't go to church.
Okay.
I want to make that quite clear.
We won't hold that against you.
I hope not. I'm 57 years of age, going on 58. I do listen to Joel Osteen, but I just listen to him because he knows how to sell it. Now, I'm in sales. I've been in sales since I was 19. Now, the reason I'm calling is that I do respect your guest, but I'm going to say this. I don't believe in seances. I don't believe in, I've seen a ghost, but only once. I don't, I really don't, but the only way I'm going to put this is this way. I don't believe in worrying about believing in God. I don't, I do believe in something, mostly myself. My mother never believed in God, and she had cancer. She was told that she had 6 months to live, and she lived 5.5 years simply because, and I'm going to say, and don't bleep me out, but she had balls.
No, be careful. Be careful. You can't.
She had balls, and as far as I'm concerned, you don't necessarily need to believe in God as long as you believe in yourself. I have a friend also that has cancer. She has never gone to church, and she's going to beat it. Bottom line is if you believe in yourself, that's the start. I do believe in something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I believe in God. I do appreciate your guests. And, George, I listen to you on a regular basis. I do like your shows. Thank you very much for listening.
All right. And, Mark, I'll ask you this, because he doesn't believe in God. And there are a lot of people out there that don't believe in God. Yet how do you explain, and I'll have you answer this when we come back right after the break, how do you explain this incredible life that has been created on this planet? It's definitely not an accident. Think about that. We'll come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take your final phone calls with Mark Pitstick, author of Soul Proof. Fascinating discussion about souls with Mark Pitstick. Hey, by the way, Asheville, North Carolina, here I come, August 27th. Full details at coasttocoastam.com there. Just take a look. However, it is a live stage show event there. You know, we've got one in St. Louis on June 18th. This one in August at the Diana Wortham Theater. I'm going to give you a website in a second. But the great folks are going to be out there. Joshua P. Warren, ufologist Micah Hanks, Bill Forstgen talking about EMPs. Just go to this website and get those tickets. It's a smaller theater than what I'm used to, so it's going to be packed very quickly. Go to dwtheater.com, and I'm going to have to spell theater because they spell it the old way. D-W-T-H-E-A-T-R-E, dwtheater.com. Welcome back, Mark Pitstick, with us, your calls as well. Mark, tell us a little bit more about Eternia.org.
Eternia.org, and that's the website. Again, a collection of the greatest minds on the planet who study consciousness and realize that having a spiritually transformative experience, or STE, sometimes that occurs when you're dying, when a loved one dies, having childbirth. It's happened with soldiers in the middle of war, etc. These are wake-up calls that help us then look at life from a different view, open our eyes a bit, not just live on the surface. And then that's when we become brighter lights in the world. That's when we get good answers to our toughest questions. And as more and more people do that, that's when we literally can have heaven on earth, peace on earth. It's really possible overnight. Wonderful website. I recommend people go there. Lots of research, lots of comfort. But before the break, we were talking about...
Talking about life, explaining life.
Yeah, and Gary said he didn't believe in God like many people, and I really don't believe in God, or at least the old form of God. You know, big guy in the sky, dictator, decides who gets smited, and you go to heaven forever, you go to hell forever. And lots of people don't believe in that. It's an old model, and it's outworn. But then when I talk about, well, do you believe there's some kind of force, like in the Star Wars movies, a power of love, some kind of underlying intelligence, they say, yeah, I think there's that. They can relate to that. So that's God, really. Our old image was limited. So how do you explain life? Yeah, obviously there's some creative, sustaining power going on. So in theology school, that was defined as the highest power we can conceive of. Quantum physicists are saying now there's a vacuum, the Akashic field, that contains all the energy and information about anything that ever happened and will happen, and we can access that, and that's how life continues on. Physicists like David Bohm said, what's life? It's a sea of energy. It's just this quantum plenum of energy, and once in a while there'll be an excitation at the surface. And to us, with our limited brain receivers, that looks like a life experience, a human incarnation. And then it's interesting, you go back thousands of years ago, and the Buddha was asked the same thing. What is the nature of life? He said, go down the ocean and watch the waves crash on the rocks. And he said, God is like the ocean, and we each are like a drop of water in the ocean. And when we crash on the rocks and go up in the air for a moment, that's like a human incarnation. We think we're separate. We think we can be destroyed. We're afraid. But really, it's a blink of an eye, and then we're back with the One. And it's an adventure. So that's one way I like to share that. Also, I got an email from Ruben. He said he couldn't get in and wanted to ask by email. He said, my parents were murdered, and I still can't speak with them. I need to know if they are doing well. And the answer is, yes, they are doing well. You can count on that. That's the set point. Everything is well when you realize how life is. As far as not being able to speak with them, he said they were murdered in 1999. First of all, they're ones that if they were murdered violently, they still might be involved in getting reoriented, getting healed, healing shower, and so on. And so that could be one reason they haven't contacted. But more likely, they're trying to contact Ruben, but he's still freaked out by both his parents being murdered, and who wouldn't? And so his energy isn't on the same wavelength. In other words, if his predominant energies are fear, resentment, bitterness, etc., then he's not going to be getting the peaceful, loving energies where they are. So he needs to tune into the station where they're living.
And back to this quick question that we'll wrap up with final phone calls, explaining what life is. I mean, there's no way this could be an accident, a fluke. There's got to be some intelligence behind all this, Mark, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. And one thing I encourage, George, is for people to watch the latest Hubble recordings. There's a beautiful DVD out, Hubble IMAX. Leonardo DiCaprio narrated it. And so they're showing photos from the farthest reaches of the known physical universe. And you see these nebulae that are spewing forth little cocoons. And we're told that each one of these has the potential to birth a new galaxy. And so life is always forming. You know, like the Beatles said, life goes on within and without you. And life is just, life itself is one of my synonyms for God, by the way, life unfolding. So we're in this marvelous experience, and we each are integral and important and forever parts of it.
All right, next up, let's go to Susan in Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hi, Susan, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's great to talk to you again. Wonderful show tonight.
Oh, I love it. Me too.
I just love it. And Dr. Wallach is awesome. But I have a story for you that is kind of recent. I had bought my home in 2008, 6 months after I bought it, I ended up losing my job. Of course, then we're into the height of the recession, and no jobs are to be found. I was getting temporary work here and there, this and that, was on the verge of basically losing my home. Went, applied for loan modification, this and that, and everything. I actually ended up getting it. And through the whole thing, it's an up and down roller coaster, very emotional. You're praying, you're wishing, you're wanting everything. And finally, I just said, you know what? God will put me where I need to be. If this is where I'm meant to be, then it will work. I'll keep it. If not, I'll move on. He'll put me where I'm supposed to be. Lo and behold, I did keep it. And as far as the jobs go, I said, you know what? I need steady work. I need steady income. I don't know what was speaking to me. I started looking through the papers on the internet, this and that. Only jobs I could find was for CDL, CDL, CDL. And I was like, man, if I could go back and get my CDL, where do you start? This, that, and the other. I'm not kidding you. My TV was on. An advertisement for Roadmasters came on. I looked up. I said, okay, I get it. I went back right then and got my CDL. I bit the bullet and trained like crazy and have been a better, happier, stronger person for it. And if somebody doesn't think something's out there that's guiding you or inspiring you or anything, they're wrong. Sometimes you have to go through the worst of the worst to come out a better person and a stronger person to really, truly make you believe.
I think so,
too. That was my experience.
Well, that's a great experience. And, Mark, a lot of people have these experiences.
Yes, and she used some key words, and thank you for that story, Susan. Great one. You said you prayed. You realized you were going to trust God or trust life, and you relaxed into the process, and then bingo, things work out. Our brain is a wonderful computer, but if we analyze too much, if we stay in frantic, overwhelmed, life doesn't unfold as well as it could. And so that's why it's important to spend some time in nature, have some centering practices, whether it's crocheting or whatever helps quiet the mind. And then things go a lot more smoothly.
Okay, let's go to Michael, Long Island, New York, on the wildcard line. Michael, take it away.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much. I love your program.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
And to Mark, my question is this. I've had, in the past, two out-of-body experiences. They weren't near death. Last year, I had a heart attack. And during the operation, I was outside myself. And then a long, long time ago, I was outside of myself during an aerobics class, briefly. And was that person, I was nothing in that. I remember that. And I could see my body. So was that thing that I was that my soul? Because I really believe the answer is no. And that my soul was still in my body. And then that leads to my question is, if not my soul, what was I?
Well, first of all, you can't separate from your soul. You know, the term soul has a lot of religious connotations. So you could say your true self, your eternal self, your essence. And so, yeah, it sounds like in these out-of-body experiences, whether it was with your heart attack or during the aerobics, you had a chance to disengage from the body a bit. In other words, we're also identified with this physical body as part of our training to be good earthlings. But just for a moment, you couldn't feel your body or couldn't see it, and then you were in touch with that 99.9% of the rest of you. And if your experience had continued, you would have had more time to get to know it, experience it. Again, you can do that during meditation and other ways to quiet the mind. Some of the things I mentioned, the hypnosis CDs on the Soulproof website. So, yeah, that was your introduction. That was one way to relax a bit and realize there's so much more to you than just that body.
You know, I used to think too, Mark, what if we're wrong? What if there is no life after death? There are no souls. But then it just hit me. Again, this is too organized. This is way too planned to be just some fluke without some involvement of something to put this together. But the big question is, Mark, what is that something? As some people call it, God. I mean, how did this all happen?
Well, that's probably the one unanswerable question.
That's true.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it? I mean, where did it all begin if there was nothingness? And so the answers I see is just, it always was. There was that potential. You know, you talk to Stephen Hawking, he would talk in terms of a black hole and the expanding of energy. From a religious view, they would say the light, God always was. So, yeah, if you find the answer to that one, let me know, please.
Bill in Hastings, Florida. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thank you.
Earlier you were talking about Hitler, and you were wondering, I guess someone had asked you, why would God allow Hitler to exist? Or, you know, like, why would he protect Hitler as a soldier in World War One, for example? Mm-hmm. One possibility could be that Hitler may have saved the entire world from being taken over by the communists. When you look at the numbers of soldiers, for example, that Stalin lost during World War II, which he otherwise would have had available, at least 11 million killed and maybe another 15 million seriously wounded. Plus, he also would have taken over Germany and Spain if not for Hitler. So that would have given Stalin at least 30 million troops that he could have used to conquer the entire world.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, you can look at things from a number of levels. First of all, Hitler was an abused child. That's a fact. And so how did he get twisted to a certain point? Secondly, he never shot anybody that I'm aware of. You know, they had lots of people helping him. Because of his actions, people awaken, for example, the Holocaust and the saying, never again. In other words, you see such evil, such death and suffering, you just say, that's not acceptable, and we'll never let something like that happen again. So that's the beauty of taking the longer view and looking at what are the silver linings to this cloud, because they're always there, certainly.
A couple more minutes to go, a couple more phone calls as well. We go to Terry in Mississippi on the wild card line. Terry, go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering your thoughts on, like, our loved ones that come to us in our dream.
Well, first of all, those dream ADCs are very common. So those are after-death contacts, ADCs. Dr. Moody's statistics are they occur with 30% of the general population, 66% of widows and widowers, and a full 75% for bereaved parents. So dream ADCs occur a lot because the mind is quieter, what we were talking before. It's not analyzing, evaluating. And then the person can get in touch with all that is that the brain can't perceive. So I'm curious, was your dream experience, was it more lucid than usual? And did you feel comforted afterwards?
Nope, she's gone.
Okay. So usually during a verifiable dream ADC, it will seem more real and lucid. And a person will be comforted afterwards. There'll be a peace. They'll know that they had a real visit. And by the way, some dream ADCs are verifiable. Carl Jung himself had one. He dreamt that he was talking to his neighbor who had passed on. And in the dream, the neighbor said, if you want to verify this, come to my house tomorrow. Jung had never been inside his library. And the neighbor said, come to my library and look on this shelf. There's this book by this name, by this color. And the next day, Jung did as instructed in the dream, and there was the book.
Just there it was.
Described to him in numerous stories like that.
You know, when you can tap into this, too, you can do some powerful things. Powerful things, can't you?
Yes. You know, fear is such a constrictor of our energy. Native Americans and shamanic different approaches talk about we have stuck energy from fear. Carolyn Mace talks about this. And so when we let go of fear of death, which there's no such thing as death, it's an optical illusion, then we can retrieve our energy. We can work with all our energy intact and life can be so much more wonderful in every way.
We have not enough time for any more calls. This has been a fast night. Mark, I got to congratulate you, by the way. You have done an absolute fabulous job conveying your thoughts and your messages and handling our phone calls. Just great job.
Thank you, George, and thank you for having this forum where we share this kind of information. I hope we can do it again.
It is so critical. Give out your website one more time.
Soulproof.com. Lots of free articles, radio shows, newsletters, and let me know, by the way, if I can help in any way. That's what I'm here for.
Very good. Mark, thanks again. Mark Pitstick, the book Soul Proof, and he truly did an absolutely stunning job, as Jesse Ventura would say. Yeoman's job, but he was a Navy guy, and I guess so was I. Our next Coast to Coast program, tune in. You're going to love it for the rest of the week. We've got all kinds of great guests for you. Don't go anyplace else but Coast to Coast AM on your favorite station. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.